One thing about it, we're all going to know where Ezekiel's at, aren't we?
It's in the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah. Just before Daniel and after Lamentations. Ezekiel chapter 1 in verse 14. I think that's about all we'll get dealt with this evening is verse 14. It says, and the living creatures ran in return as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Lightning is mentioned in two verses. The previous verse, in verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. We looked at that lightning in verse 13 last week. We looked at the fact that out of the fire came forth lightning. So we looked at fire and the symbolic meaning of fire, especially in the prophet of Jeremiah and his prophecy concerning the word of God. The lightning, and this is a word in verse 13, is a little different than the word in verse 14. The word in verse 13 is actually a lightning strike, a bolt of lightning. And we said that that was the coming of the Lord is to be quick and powerful like lightning. And we looked at some scriptures that talk about that. And then also his word is quick. It's alive, but it is powerful. It is penetrating like lightning. Lightning is a powerful bolt, and it's nothing for us to mess around with, as electricity in general is not necessary for us to mess around with, unless you know what you're doing with it. And then it's to be respected and feared. It's a shame that that 89-year-old man, if he was losing his memory and had dementia or beginning stages of Alzheimer's and so forth, that somebody wasn't watching him more closely, that went out and touched that electrical line that was down up in Volusia County this hurricane and was killed. But we know that that's the providence of the Lord, and our bounds are set by him, and we're not going to fall short of those bounds, and we're not going to cross over those bounds. But tonight we want to consider the fact of the cherubim in verse 14. Sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. And that word there is like a flash of lightning, something that might be a little quicker than a regular bolt of lightning. Not being a Hebrew scholar, I can't tell you the exact difference between the two, but there is a difference between the two words. But in thinking about that, I thought, these cherubim made haste. And a flash of lightning, symbolic of being quicker than a bolt of lightning, these cherubim made haste as quickly as a flash of lightning. Even a bolt of lightning, as we discussed last week, is pretty quick. You can't outrun it. You better be getting out of the way of it long before it gets here, where it could get you. But consider a flash of lightning being quicker. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4. And we want to consider the thought of making haste. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, we read, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. There are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." I guess to understand this verse a little bit, you'd have to know a little bit of the history of Israel and Judah. Plus, you would have to know what a plummet is. We call them, or I have called them up north anyhow, plumb bobs. You've heard of a plumb bob? Same plummet, same thing. It was an instrument with tin-like lead, tin-like metal, a stone, tin-like stone on the end of it. It was lead on the end of it. And it was to measure the perpendicular of a building. It was to make sure of its uprightness, to make sure of its being straight and true and square. All those things. What he's saying in this verse is that under Zerubbabel, the rebuilding of the temple and the wall is going to continue, and it is going to be completed. And it is going to be straight and true. It is going to be upright. And it's going to be quick. In other words, it's going to be done, and haste is going to be made. And of course, you can go back and you can read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and you get a glimpse of how the people came together and how the people worked, and they worked together in unity, and they had a mind to work and to do the work of the Lord. That last phrase, "they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro," small things in the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. It makes haste. You think of the eyes of the Lord, how quick do they go through the whole earth? Well, it speaks of His omniscience, doesn't it? And His omnipresence. He's everywhere at once. He knows all. You see, that's how quick it is. He knows it. He sees it. And He's telling these here in the book of Zechariah, telling that this is how the building of the temple is going to continue, and it's going to be completed, and it's going to be straight and true, and it's going to be done in haste. And not haphazard haste, but just the fact of being straight and true signifies that it's going to be done correctly, and it's going to be done speedily. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles. In chapter 16. Look with me at verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Him strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. The eyes of the Lord do what? They run. They don't walk. They run to and fro on the earth. It's signifying haste being made. Psalms 147. Psalms 147. In verse 15. Here the psalmist tells us, He sendeth forth His commandments upon earth, His word runneth very swiftly. Keep this verse in mind. He sendeth His commandments upon the earth, and they are His word. His word runneth very swiftly. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. In verse 1. Paul here tells the church at Thessalonica, finally, brethren, pray for us, all those that were in Paul's company. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Two words there, free course, and free is added for to help you better understand course, I guess. But the idea is that the word of God might not be meet with obstruction, but that the gospel would be carried forth speedily. That the gospel would be carried forth hastily. The word it means run. It means of persons in haste. In other words, it was Paul's desire that the word would not meet with obstruction, with hindrance, but that it would run forth speedily and hastily into the hearts of God's elect and bring about their salvation. Thinking about these verses that we've read in the haste, and especially with the word and commandments signifies that there must be a following and obedience. So the word is very swift, but how are we? How are we? Are we quick to receive it? Are we swift to receive it? Do we make haste to receive the Word of God? And you know that word receive doesn't mean just to hear it with the ears. It means a taking it into the heart. Are we quick to take the Word of God into our hearts? Do we make haste to receive the Word of God? Do we make haste to do the work of the Lord? Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. In chapter 5. And verse 16. And he outlines in the preceding verses several things that have to do with our walk as a Christian and includes putting off of some things and not being a part of some things. And deals with our walk. And then he comes to verse 16, he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The word redeeming, well, we know what it means, don't we? It means to ransom. It means to buy back. So he's talking about that we recover our time and don't waste it. We recover the time for the use in God's work. Not in our own work and pleasure. I read something about Spurgeon yesterday. I believe Brother Ron read it too. I posted it on Facebook. And it was why Spurgeon was poor. And it outlined everything that he had done and all the messages that all the books that he wrote and the proceeds from it and the proceeds from speaking engagements and come over to the United States and one speaking engagement, $10,000 was paid for to speak. But he died a pauper, so to speak. But he was rich in the things of eternity. He put all his money and all his proceeds back into the work of the Lord. Even a church that he had used to pastor, but no longer pastored. This was after he went to Metropolitan Tabernacle. That church had a fire, and he sent money down there to help rebuild that building. And there was a need for Metropolitan Tabernacle to add on and to redo its building and so forth. And he spent thousands and pounds and pounds and pounds of his money to do it. So what was he doing? He was setting an example for the congregation and for others. As long as he had a roof over his head, clothes to wear, and food to put in his belly, he and his wife were to be content. His family was to be content with those things. Redeeming the time. Recovering the time. Recovering the time for the work of the Lord. And I think about my life and I think about the wasted years, so to speak. The years that were wasted, so to speak, that I could have been doing more in the service of the Lord. The time that is wasted now, that I could be doing in the service of the Lord. I want to give me a moment here. I want to look and see how this scripture in Romans 13 goes along. I don't have it wrote down. It just come to mind. I think it's fitting. Verse 11 of chapter 13. Well, let's go back to verse 10. It said, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because the times are evil. The days are evil." Back to Ephesians 5:16.
Do we see the urgency? Do we see the urgency of the work demands that we do this? It demands that we make haste. Was it you and I, Brother Ron, Sunday, was talking about all those who in the world and in our families that are not saved, that are dying and going to hell? And I know we can stand up here and we can stand on election and we can say not one that God has chosen is going to go to hell. But that does not relieve you and I of our responsibility to take the gospel to them. We don't know who the elect are. And therefore, we ought to be preaching the gospel to everyone that does not name the name of Christ. So that we preach it to the elect. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And 2 Chronicles chapter 24, King Joash is king now, and he has a good reign. He reigns well at least all the days of Jehoiada, the high priest Jehoiada. After Jehoiada dies, why, he doesn't do so well. But he does before Jehoiada dies. Said in verse 4, And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year and see that ye hasten the matter. I mean, it's an urgent matter. And see to it that you hasten to it. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. Are we going to be like those Levites? And hasten it not? The urgency is there. We have the commission. We've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go. What are we waiting on? So, are we making haste in the work of the Lord? Are we making haste in obedience to the Word? Turn with me to the book of Psalms in 119. Psalms 119 and verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy command. Oh, that I could say that. When the Lord shows us command from His Word, do we make haste to obey it? To keep it? There again, past regrets. I think back on many of my days when the Word of God was preached and the commands of the Lord were preached and well, I just rebelled against it. Instead of just by faith, obeying it. Why? Why did I do that? Why do we do that? Because it's convenient to the flesh. Because the flesh doesn't like to obey the Word of God. We were given in to the flesh.
then weren't we not? Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Look what Solomon said. You're going to listen to the words of a wise man? Chapter 9 and verse 10 of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, this is in the work of the Lord. Do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Don't you realize that you know that old saying that I grew up with? Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. It's still true. Where did that saying come from? You might not be here tomorrow. All you have is the right now. What we're going to do for the Lord, we must do it now. And then you throw into that mix. We talk about how the Lord's coming soon. The Lord's coming soon. All the events that are going on in our country and in the world today, the Lord's coming soon. What we see to do needs to be done today. It's all we have is right now. The Lord might come. We might leave before the next moment, before tomorrow comes. What about in praying? Do we make haste in prayer? Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 21. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. In other words, one said it and others followed in and said, I'll go also. And they went speedily to pray. Listen, they recognized the urgency. They recognized the need. Is there not a need? Is there not a cause? Oh, we talk about the upcoming election, and we talk about the choices that we have to vote for and how terrible they are. And wish I had another choice. Well, let me tell you something about what we've got right now. We got just what we've asked for. The United States of America has got just exactly what they've asked for. And that includes you and I. How many of us have calloused knees from being on our knees in prayer to the Lord? Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. In verse 40, this is what the Lord told Peter. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you something. The hour of temptation is near. We might succumb to it before we leave this building this evening. Maybe you've already succumbed to it right now. The hour of temptation's near. Like I said, I want to say tomorrow morning you may fall. It may not be even till tomorrow morning. And then lastly, do we make haste in witnessing? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 4. Jesus sending out the 70 here, he said, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man. By the way, there are two things in this verse. We don't need to take provisions. We need to trust the Lord for the provisions. Basically, that's what I got out of Spurgeon, that short excerpt on Spurgeon yesterday. What was that? He trusted the Lord for that which he needed. The Lord gave him money and he put it back into the work of the Lord. But the second thing is notice the haste. And salute no man, by the way. They weren't even to greet a stranger in the way. They were to get busy about the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay visiting with someone in the way. The 14th chapter. For time's sake, we'll just read verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Talking about in verse 15, the kingdom of God. And Jesus gives this parable to the man that made the comment concerning the kingdom of God. And there was a certain man made a great supper. Speaking of the gospel, speaking of the kingdom of God. And in the gospel, the preparation of the gospel. And in John chapter 1 and verse 11 says he came to his own received him not. The first time he went out, he met with this excuse and that excuse and that excuse. He came unto his own received him not. And he sent him forth into the Gentiles. Out into the highways and byways and hedges. It was an urgency. The gospel's here. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, where is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. We were saying earlier about the urgency in the preaching of the gospel there's not one of God's elect that are going to die and go to hell. But he's given us the responsibility of preaching the gospel. The urgency is there because the judgment of God is waiting. 2 Peter chapter 3. The judgment of God is waiting. And a new heaven, a new earth is going to be created. This old heaven and old earth is going to be purged with fire. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All the usward, all the elect of God should come to repentance. And that the only way they'll come to repentance is through the preaching of the gospel and the working of the power of the Holy Spirit. But the gospel must be preached for the Holy Spirit to work. Verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. See, the Lord's long-suffering is waiting for that last elect, for all of the elect to be saved. Do you see the urgency of the matter, the urgency of preaching the gospel? And then the Lord Jesus Christ shall come. You see. All right, we'll quit there tonight. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Frank, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Preaches the gospel.
Amen.
We pray that